Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 351. I am Chris. Back with us is Tony.
I'm back.
Jeff is here as well.
I'm scared.
And Pete's here.
Is Jeff here? I didn't hear anything.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Oh,
am I here?
Yeah.
He's going to get some. Oh, he's
back. Oh, okay. He's back.
I'm so disappointed now.
What's up?
We're going to kick off with Mass Effect because it's out.
Yeah. How spoilery are we getting? Not that I care, but
not at all.
We
shouldn't spoil things.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even come to anything that would be a spoiler anyway.
Yeah. How far in are you, Tony?
I'm about 6 hours in.
Yeah, that's about
five, 6 hours.
So. All right. So are you guys like basically, I feel like anything that was in the trial is more or less free territory, like free game, roughly.
I don't know. How far did the trial go? I didn't
up to Eos. Hour,
so.
Okay, so I'm on Eos right now.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I haven't finished Eos either. So
okay, yes. I don't know if it ends on Eos or if it ends at the end of Eos. But I know that that's the planet that the trial stops at.
I'm in the thing, Chris. Are you in the thing?
Yeah, I got into the thing. I did the gravity well thing, and
yeah, okay, that's where I am too. Yeah.
That's where I stopped last night. So. All right, yeah, so let's jump into it. Mass Effect Andromeda. We're back Mass Effecting.
Yes.
Initial impressions, Tony.
So it feels an awful lot like the first game did. Like,
yes.
I think a lot of that's the structure of the story, because Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3 both operated under this sense of impending doom. Like Mass Effect 2, you were always building towards that mission at the end.
Yes.
And Mass Effect 3, the universe was basically ending, so you always had this pressure.
From the intro, like,
yeah.
That game starts out with the world on fire.
Right. This game, you don't have that sense of urgency. It's kind of like you're just exploring and finding out what's going on, at least so far.
Yeah, I mean, there is... Maybe urgency is not the... But there is, like... Hey, we need to find like a planet to
settle. No, we have to do something. There are things that need to be achieved,
yeah.
But it's not like, I don't know. It's not like it overrides the plot with that. Like you're doing stuff, and that's like, kind of in the background.
You have time to do stuff. You have time to explore.
Yeah.
It's like people aren't going to die in an hour if you don't do this.
In fact, it's kind of your job to explore, because that's kind of why you're there. So it's kind of cool that they make that your purview, because that makes this a space exploration game, not a I must save the universe game.
Yeah.
But doesn't it become that?
I have no idea, because I'm only 5 or 6 hours in.
But I mean, but my assumption is that in these 5 or 6 hours, the antagonist has presented themselves, right?
I have not met, like, I've met, like, enemies, but I haven't.
We've met an enemy called the Ket.
Right, and from what I have gathered from trailers and previews, they are the main enemy?
Well, probably.
But again, we don't know because we haven't gotten very far.
Okay.
But we haven't met, like, there's no Saren.
Right,
there's
and I no, guess that, like, that's what I mean. That's, I guess
yeah,
that was my
there's,
question.
There's no antagonist being.
Right.
What's driving this story then?
So basically, humanity and the other races have sent out these
arcs.
Ships called Arcs to colonize Andromeda.
Yeah,
they don't really go into the backstory because there's like they kind of ignore the other games.
Well,
like, you don't know why they have to set out these arcs.
It takes place after Mass Effect 1, but before. But before 2 gets going, Shepard's
like,
dead.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's like in between the intro to episode to Mass Effect 2, and okay, where they know
but
the Normandy's been destroyed.
But this game is actually taking place 600 years later.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, like the initial launch was because hey, we feel like humanity might get annihilated by the Reapers, and so in order to preserve
haven't even mentioned the Reapers. Like, I don't even think they know about the Reapers or anything.
Weird. Okay, because like I feel like
you don't even learn about the Reapers until the end of Mass Effect 2, anyway.
No,
Mass Effect 2 is about Shepard trying to convince people that they're a threat.
No, but isn't Mass Effect 1 when they fight Sovereign?
Yes, but that's the only Reaper they encounter in the game.
Right, right. And I thought that was what from what I remember reading, maybe I'm totally misremembering, that that was why they sent the Arcs out, was because, hey, if the Reapers annihilate the entire Milky Way, we want to make sure all of our races continue to exist.
Well, it seems like, based on what I've read in the game, like, from, like, and talking to other characters about what the Andromeda Initiative is, it was kind of designed by this scientist on Earth. I'm not even sure if she was a scientist. She's more like a Elon Musk type person who was like, we should go do something like this. And she was able to convince these other scientists to get on board and kind of come up with a committee to do this. The Rider's dad. So there's two Riders.
Right.
Scott, is that his name?
Yeah, and Sarah.
I know Sarah.
Scott and Sarah are the twins, I think.
Yeah, and then their dad is—he's actually the Pathfinder.
Is he right. Scott Senior? Like, I can't.
It might be
or David or something. Yeah, I don't remember.
Got me.
But
old Scott.
He I guess he was in charge of the pathfinding portion of the mission. And he's kind of convinced other people to get on board with this.
There's no sense of like people fleeing from something here,
right?
Like you talk to people, they're all like, "I wanted to go out into space. I wanted to experience the unknown."
Hmm.
It's not like they thought the world was about.
Did I just invent that then?
No, I had that.
It would help to play the game, Pete, before you come to these conclusions.
Well, I
honestly thought that was like
if you had asked
me what the log line of Mass Effect Andromeda was, I assumed that's what it was.
Well, I had heard that on other podcasts that like Mass Effect Andromeda took place between like 1 and 2, and it was like some sort of last ditch effort, but like some sort of contingency effort to continue society away from the Milky Way.
Yeah.
Which I mean, Reapers, no Reapers, whatever, like that is kind of what this is, right? Like, and they just kind of sidestep all that anyway, because they don't really talk about any of that.
They just want to ignore all that and reboot the plot. That's kind of why we're here. So.
Yeah, so it's something that takes place in the Mass Effect universe, but it's just completely standalone.
Okay. I mean, that was always their plan, right? They wanted to get away from ever having to touch the Shepard story and just get them almost literally as far away as possible, more or less.
It's a whole nother universe. So.
Right.
Another galaxy.
So, I mean, I assume, Chris, I know you know about it. Tony, you've seen the coverage, right, of the game?
Middling coverage, yeah.
The reaction.
I haven't really, because I had bought the game already. Like, I saw, like, the Metacritic, and I saw, like, some of the review scores, but I didn't really read any of the reviews because I didn't want to, like, because I already owned it. So,
right.
At that point, there was no point. Like experiencing it for myself. Although I will say I got a little more excited about the game since it kind of had it was getting some good reviews and some bad reviews, and I was like, oh, I can't have like a preconceived opinion here. That's
right.
Cool.
It's not universally praised, it's not universally trashed. It's some reviewers are really liking it, some aren't. It's kind of all over the place.
I feel like from what I've played so far, you could decide to love it, or you could decide to hate it. Like, if you wanted to write a review, you could go either way and find plenty of evidence for either.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I will say this. So Fozzy came on the show last week, and he spent a lot of time talking about the character creation.
Yeah.
And I fully agree 100% with everything he said. I think the character creation in this game is atrocious.
Which is such a bummer.
But it is funny because there are, and I was talking with Jeff before the show, there are tons of sliders.
Yeah.
Like you can, you know, change eye height and eye width and chin height and chin width. But they're all basically done on one of these 10 different facial models. So yeah, you're just creating monsters if you move them anywhere.
Right, the faces have already been designed, so anything doing like that just doesn't make it...
Right, it just makes it, like, awkward looking. Like,
right. Now, I may be super lame, but Howard... I don't... Because I just picked the base models in the previous games, but was the character creation there more robust? Like,
it was more of... like, instead of there being options, like... I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but did you ever play like Dragon Age or any of those, like Inquisition?
Yeah, I played all of
them. Yeah, it was like that.
I love BioWare. I'm their slave.
Oh, fair enough, but I mean, it was more like that. Like, I mean, with Inquisition, I was able to like create a female Inquisitor that I liked.
Yeah,
and I was like, did not look like a hideous beast.
Right,
and stuff, and so I mean,
it wasn't a generic model. You were able to create it.
Yeah, like, and I feel like, given what Fozzie's described, that's kind of always been Mass Effect. Like, every time I tried to create my own Shepard, it was a hideous malformation of humanity. Like, I always had to go with base model because anything else just, like, I don't know if it was how they mapped the things onto the face. It just never looked as natural as the base model that they created.
Yeah, which is why I always want the base model in every single game.
Yeah, I think I remember creating a female Shepard on like an alternate playthrough that wasn't base model, but maybe I just changed hair color and stuff. I don't, but I've gone with the base Sarah Ryder model because I played with that, that character creation for like a half hour, 40 minutes, and I could not get anything that wasn't just monstrous looking.
Now, I've seen people like post pictures of their writers and stuff, and they look like regular humans and they look good models, but I have to imagine they spent like 5 hours.
Yeah, they would have had to spend a lot of time and come up with something that just... I could not get anything that look
right, huge. And honestly, with this game, the character models are just so ugly to begin with that you're wasting your time really doing anything but the generic one. Like, look, I'm the prettiest ugly thing in the game. Look what I've created. It's great.
I do think, and this came up on the Bombcast this week, but and are you playing as a Scott?
I'm Scott, yes.
Okay, so I don't know if Scott
looks a little
has
more normal than I've seen pictures of Sarah. She looks kind of bug-eyed and weird.
Yes, yeah. Sarah can definitely have some weird eye things going on, but the weirdest thing about her is you'll get some sort of like emotional conversation piece with her. And they'll have like a close in on her face and she just always has this weird smirk. like
someone's just died. She's at a funeral and there she is smirking.
Yeah. And it's like
she just wants you to eat shit. Like
specifically somebody like close to her just died and she's smirking. And it's like, this is weird.
This was my plan to gain power all along.
Right. It's, like, it's really weird. Cause otherwise she comes off a lot of times. And I mean, this is something Mass Effect does really well, the series, is you can role-play that character to kind of become the person you want that, like, Shepard to be or Ryder to be. And I think people do forget that, like, when you started Mass Effect, like, you were building Shepard from the ground up, really. Like, and by the end, you had all this emotional attachment to him and his crew. And, but at the beginning, like, Shepard wasn't this super detailed person. Like, he had a backstory that you kind of came up with from a choice. But, he was
also pretty lame.
Yeah. Like,
let's be honest. He wasn't a great character to start off with.
Right. Like, you had to build that. And I think Ryder kind of comes into this the same way.
Yeah, there's like, not a whole lot to him. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, right. Which makes sense. And maybe that expectation has been lost by some fans who are only thinking of their Shepard from Mass Effect 3.
Right.
And not realizing that it took them 3 games and 10 years in order to, or 8 years, however long, but to create that character.
I think that is a problem with this game, right? Is that Mass Effect was this big culmination of things,
right?
And this is a reset. Like it is it is back to square one in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I actually like. I wonder if. Well, okay, so it's funny because it is a reset in a lot in terms of maybe the characters and cast, but like my personally for me, one of the biggest bummers aside from the character creator is the lack of difference. Like there are only two new alien races in the entire game. Like we have moved entire galaxies, and most of everything you encounter is all the same stuff. Like, and even with a lack of some of the more exciting aliens, like there's no Quarians in the game.
Yeah, that,
there are no Elcor.
So that there is this weird
I can live without
dialogue that like the Quarians and the Elcor and they were supposed to come with us.
They're supposed to be here, but they're not. They had some troubles on their ship and they're just not here.
So
sorry.
Maybe they'll show up later. It is pretty funny.
Which is like the weirdest excuse ever. Like why creatively would you limit like
I wonder when the Ark DLC is going to arrive.
Right.
Let's look up into the sky.
But I don't know. I think I was hoping, like, I understand that, like, for the Tempest and the Nexus, like, that would thematically and, like, you know, lore-wise look exactly the same as it did in Mass Effect 1 because it's coming from that stuff. But I don't know. Like, the fact that only one of your companions is a new alien and...
Well, at the beginning, like you're mostly humans. You are on an arc of like 20,000 humans. There are very limited aliens that come with you.
Which I realize is how Mass Effect is how Mass Effect 1 started. Like Mass Effect 1, your first two companions are Ashley and Caden, right?
Yeah, but humans.
But this is even more segregated because you are coming on the human arc, and you are the only arc to have arrived. So there.
Oh, I see.
There is very like there was a Solarian arc. There was a who are the cat people?
There's Solarians, Turians.
Turians.
Asari has an arc.
Yeah, the Asari, and then there was the Quarian arc that had the other races on it, but they're not coming. So. Right.
Now the funny thing is, like, I feel like there was a huge missed opportunity with the Quarians specifically. Like, you think of all the races that have been created in Mass Effect, they would be the like all four programmed to go find themselves a new planet. Like,
right. But the funny thing is, the excuse that they use is probably like accurate. I almost said historically accurate. Wow.
Right. Well,
thematically accurate because the Quarians are all about like. Building their ships up from spare parts, and they're always breaking down.
And you have to remember that, like, there was a limited amount of them in the universe to begin with.
Yeah, Tally was called back.
Yeah, right. So I mean, maybe they never show up.
Right, which would be unfortunate. I actually think they're probably one of, if not the most interesting race that is in the Mass Effect universe.
I think they're very interesting.
I recently watched a video of what happens in Mass Effect 2 if you bring Legion onto Tali's loyalty mission, and how that totally like changes the framing of that thing. And that stuff's it's unfortunate that there that like interesting conflicts like that can't necessarily exist. Just due to the lack.
Getting back to the human thing for a minute, like how most of the characters are human. In the previous games, the human characters were always the lamest ones.
Yes,
and I think that kind of comes out here too. Like the other ones bring color and like, they have different worldviews, and they just kind of broaden things up. And the fact that they stick it with humans and humans only for like hours to start off the game.
Yeah, as soon as Vetra joins the team, like she was just by my side.
Yeah.
Like yep. Nope, I'll bring you and Cora. The other dude, he can stay behind because he is boring as fuck.
He is.
Oh, Liam?
Yeah.
He's a black British dude. He's awesome.
I've heard from everybody that he is actually the worst character in the
game. He's just so bad. So dull.
Which is
And you're teamed with him on Habitat 7, which is kind of like the planet that you land on.
Stuck with him the first time.
Yeah.
I wish I could have left him to die.
Right. It's like you're so terrible.
I'm sure there'll be an option somewhere in that game.
But
someone will die. Hopefully it's him.
But yeah, back to what you were saying, Tony, like that about a ways back to what you were saying. But yeah, there's a sense of exploration to this game again.
Yeah. Which is nice. I like it.
Yeah. It's cool to just be able to go explore.
So like, but in what way? Like, I'm like, what is, what is, I mean, obviously in the story, I know the purpose of the exploration, but I mean, like, is it very like No Man's Sky-y exploration? Like, I'm just,
you can go to planets, I'm
just digging for resources.
No, it's more than that. So you can go to planets and like, you try to improve them so that humans can come and live there.
Right. We're going to force, colonize this planet.
Yeah, you're trying to up basically the viability score.
Yeah, so you do stuff that will improve the atmosphere and add defenses to the planet. You know, find resources and that kind of thing. So it feels like actual. Yeah, it feels like actual exploration.
What are the defenses for? Can like shit come and attack your bases?
Well, there are the cat roaming around. There's some other ones. Like that, there are enemies like roaming around. There are also like, I saw life. Like I was running over little things that were attacking me.
And it's just like, so you have this hand scanner just walking around and there's so much to scan and explore and understand about, like it's kind of back to Mass Effect 1 where, you know, you were put down on a planet and you're trying to like, you know, see if there's anything good here.
Yeah.
But you also have this cool hand scanner and like, I'm going to scan this fucking rock over here. Oh, and I'm going to scan this alien artifact over here.
I don't know what that is. And I don't know what this is. And I don't know what this is. So you kind of like,
I'm going to scan this killer mushroom over here.
Yeah.
It's like, I've just been going around scanning everything.
Everything I can find. Yes. And you get XP to that.
Yeah. And it seems like depending upon what you scan, it actually gives you like research points, which you can then use to spend on upgrades later on. So there's a reason to like be doing that. I guess you don't have to, but I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I'm having fun. The combat is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the combat's actually really, like, it's really good. Like it feels,
they give you the ability to switch classes, which I think is long overdue.
I feel like that's pretty smart.
Yes.
Because, I mean,
like mid-combat.
The classes in Mass Effect 2, at least, were sort of just like pick your opening weapon loadout. And that was it. Like, and stuff, they didn't really mean a whole lot. And so it's nice that here there's more.
Well, I mean, if you were like a biotic, you could, like, you know, make people float away and freeze them in stasis and that kind of thing. Like, so they did mean something, but you kind of locked yourself off. Like, if you chose soldier, you could get the thing that would make time slow down, but all those other abilities were not. Like, here you can cross.
Yeah, you can kind of make yourself a jack of all trades.
kind of like Dark Souls. Like, you'll start as one thing, but it doesn't really mean much.
Right.
Like, you could build up what you want as you play.
So I've got, like, the soldier ability. I can throw grenades and I can like shock people with my biotic abilities. I could do all that stuff at the same time, which is cool.
Does it feel more like an RPG than the last couple? Like in terms of like how you can upgrade your person, like
there are a lot more options.
Yeah, I remember like the first game being very like, here's your stat points, man. Your stat point where you want, and like I feel like they got away from that.
Yeah, no, it's like that.
So yeah, so when you level up. Go ahead, Tony.
No, you can go ahead.
So when you level up, like you get points that you can then spend on each of the different classes and their different skill sets. So, like if you, like Tony was saying, like he had like the ability to use like the grenade thing. You can also use like concussion blast, and you can add points into that. Where you can add points into like general combat readiness, which allows you to have like extra holsters, which to carry different weapons and But you could also move that to like the biotic section if you wanted to. So you're not just locked into kind of that, like, I'm going to be a Vanguard, or I'm going to be a soldier, or I'm going to be a, like, a tech guy. Like, you can kind of move around and create the character you want.
I like that. It's cool.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
I did hear that the, because you guys are talking about combat as well, that, like, you don't control what your fucking other people are doing anymore. Like,
not directly.
That's fucked up. That's,
you can just,
that you was never like, did a huge part of it.
I think, what was the first game, you could tell them exactly what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, but you would control them like they were KOTOR companions. Like, if Shepard was knocked out, you would immediately assume control of the next available person.
But I think as the games moved on, the autonomy of those other characters increased.
Yes, but I would always pause time, pull up my wheel or whatever, and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to do this special power here. I'm going to have this person do this here. Yeah. I'm going to this person do that.
All right, you can't
more than that.
Command.
I would have all converge on one person, like hit one person.
Yeah. You can powers. Here. You can give them general commands like attack this person or go here, but you can't tell them what to do.
And like, if you do like, so the way it works now, like before, you'd be like, all right, you use your biotic, you use your special skill. I'm going to use my special skill, and we're all going to converge. You can tell everybody to attack that same enemy that you want, and then there are these combo skills that, like, if you are using a particular skill, then your teammates, if they have the corresponding skill that works with that, they will automatically do that. So, like, if you're doing one thing, they'll tile into that to kind of create a combo for you.
And like, then they'll talk about it in the middle of the battle, be like, nice combo.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's weird incidental conversations. Which evidently you can turn that stuff off. So.
Yeah. Oh, I love it though. It makes it so hokey.
Yeah, it is kind of goofy. in a good way. Like, I'm enjoying that nonsense.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm having fun with the game. Like, I can make fun of it, but it's been really enjoyable so far.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to make fun of most, though, is the walking. so they kind of disguise it in most of the cutscenes. They kind of try to shoot the humans from such an angle where you can't see that they all walk like they've just been reamed by something. They're all like... But there's one that's really bad. One of your crewmates just walks past you and she's just like...
Like, they just like accidentally half shit their pants and they're trying to make it to the bathroom.
Something like that. It's and you notice that when you're like walking through the Nexus, that none of the characters are walking around. They're all standing still.
Yeah, they're all stationary. It's really
because they never figured out how to animate the humans walking.
That is
it's really strange. And also strange is the fact that, well, so, like, you don't have elevators now, but there's a tram.
Yeah.
So it's not a vertical elevator. It's a horizontal elevator.
Yeah, but to be fair, instead of taking, like, a minute to load, the other game,
it doesn't take
seconds. So.
Yeah, it's still just, it's like, all right, I can see why they put this in here, but it is kind of
right.
Kind of goofy. Yeah, and something that a lot of people were complaining about though is like the when you're in a system and you pick the planet to go into the planet, and, like, you can't land on all the planets, and not all the planets have resources for you to even like send a probe out to. But you can fly to all of the ones in the system, but each one requires you to like sit through this like animation of you flying.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool. It looks amazing.
It's a cool animation.
If you'll still feel that 30 hours in of seeing that every time you go to a planet.
Well, you know what? What's probably going to happen is they're going to patch that animation. Like, so you can skip through it.
I really like it.
I mean, at least it's like, an option, but it might be a loading animation though, which is why it's there.
But that seems really weird for because you can only land on certain planets.
Yeah.
So, like, if it was a loading animation to land on that one planet, that would make sense. But, like, I could fly to, let's just use our solar system as an example. But, like, I could fly to Pluto, and it would give me that animation of me flying across, like, our solar system to Pluto. And then it would zoom in on Pluto, and I can rotate Pluto and see if there's anything on it. But it instantly tells you also if there's something on it. It'll tell you, like, anomaly detected, and you could just rotate it till you find the thing and shoot a probe down.
Oh, okay.
But then, so, like, I want to go from Pluto to Venus, so it'll then, like, zoom out from Pluto. It'll shoot me across the galaxy, across the solar system to Venus, and, like, it'll do the same thing, bring up Venus, and I could see it from there. It's...
Are there Mass Effect relay analogs? Travel throughout systems.
I don't know yet.
The Tempest can fly fast.
Yeah, no, I don't think either of us is far enough in the game to.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've done that yet. Like, so I didn't know if you left the opening system.
No, like we're. I think we're both still on EOS, so we haven't.
Yeah, so basically, you go to Planet 7, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then you go to the Nexus, which is the Citadel, right. And then you go to EOS, which is where we both are. Yeah. So
gotcha.
We haven't really gotten to the universe. What that is? The wider universe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Nexus is interesting, so it's like the Citadel, but. Hey, we half-assed it because we thought you were all dead. I'm enjoying it. The side quests seem a little run here, run there, back and forth, but
very fetchy.
Go scan. Well, not fetchy so much as
go scan this thing. Go scan this thing.
Panel. Go scan that. Yeah, lots of scanning. Also, have you played the Sudoku?
Yeah, I did do the one. The hacking game is basically Sudoku.
Yes. But did you fail? I didn't understand it the first time I saw it, so I failed.
No, I lucked into it. I saw what it was, basically, like, we can't have a something else match it, and I didn't really correlate it to Sudoku at first, but afterwards I was like, wait, this is what my daughter plays.
Yeah. Well, I kind of just saw it and then hit the button, and it's like fail.
Oh,
and
when it fails, I did do that because, like, I didn't realize how to drop the.
Yes,
I did do that. I pressed A, and it was like,
and then like, oh look, things are attacking.
What the hell is going on? Why am I being attacked? It's fun. If you like Mass Effect, it is Mass Effect. It is not Mass Effect Advanced, very much past what Mass Effect was, but...
It kind of feels like it's not like Mass Effect isn't the top-tiered game now in the genre.
Right.
That was my thing. You weren't here last week, Tony, but I kind of said that. Like, it feels like it's very much of like a time and place, and it was like last gen. It was like groundbreaking then, and now like the genre has.
And well, so... see, here's the thing though. What game? So the only RPG that's markably better is Witcher. Like Witcher 3 is eons past this. If you look at the other RPGs that have released in the past, like a couple years. They're all flawed. Like this game is flawed, but you know, Fallout 4, Dragon Age Inquisition, like they're all like they all have issues that kind of hold them back. So I think it's
Dark Souls.
I don't really consider Dark Souls to be an RPG, but
yeah, it's different. It's more of like action RPG. Like
yeah, it's not your traditional.
Like, it's not story-based, for sure. Like,
right. Like, I mean, Mass Effect is definitely from a story-based, like... I mean, that's what you come to BioWare games for, right? Is the...
Yeah.
Storytelling, the conversations.
But I feel like narrative games have, like, kind of suppressed... I don't know, it's just, like, everything that, like, happened in Mass Effect 1 and 2, like, at that time, I was like, well, I'm not going to be blown away by you just doing that again. Like,
right.
I don't know.
And that's... I could definitely see that. I'm not blown away by Mass Effect Andromeda, but I am enjoying it a lot. Like,
yeah.
It is something that I wanted, and they gave that to me. But does I could definitely see
the, like, does it still have, like, the amazing synth, like, soundtrack that those games had?
So the music is very good.
Yeah.
It's... It does not feel quite as like 70s synth based. There is a good soundtrack to it. Like, the music is very good.
Jeff is disappointed.
I don't know. I'm actually more optimistic hearing you guys talk about it now, because, like, honestly, anything I've heard this last week has been very negative.
Like, it's one of those things. You could be negative about this game if you wanted to be, but there's a lot of good here, too. A lot of stuff that we haven't really gotten so far since, let's be honest, since, like, Xbox One and PS4 launched.
Sure.
Like, there hasn't really been a whole lot of games like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still, even in the RPG genre, like, it stands alone as, like, that sci-fi...
The space opera, yeah. Opera
type game, like... It's cool Star Trek, like, right? Like, it's that. It's, yeah. You know, you have your own ship. You're the captain of your ship. You're going exploring. Like, you don't get that even with, like, stuff like The Witcher or...
Yeah, it's a total different feel.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's something different, and there aren't... Unfortunately, we just don't have other games like that. Nothing has filled that map.
Strangely.
Yeah, you'd think that there would be, like, some... But then again, the budget it takes to make a game like that, I think, is prohibitive for a lot of companies.
So. Yeah, in this day and age especially, so.
So yeah, if you like space shit, this is some space shit.
Yeah.
It's the only spaceship.
It's more, yeah, really. It's more Mass Effect, which is not a bad thing. And it's not bad. It's not a bad game.
That's, right.
I might have been more excited for something new, but.
I could see that.
I'm like, they have that new IP coming from Edmonton, right? So I'll be curious to see what that is.
That said, I am still happy that they've created Mass Effect, that we did get another like a space RPG, and maybe we'll get something like Cyberpunk is coming at some point. Yep, from,
I'm excited for that.
Like, but we don't get a lot of like sci-fi RPGs, and the last one we got, which was Fallout 4, was kind of
bad.
Disappointing.
Yeah,
I don't know if I go. I don't think I could go as far as bad. It was unremarkable.
Yeah. I like this more than I like that.
Like, I mean, Fallout 4.
Did you all freeze on me?
No, Chris froze on me.
I think we all you froze out.
I don't know. It's something, and for me, like, I've wanted to come home every night since it came out and play it.
Yeah, I know that feel.
Me too.
Like, and it's something that Horizon did as well, and I am just happy that, like, this is the third month in a row where we've gotten, like, a pretty cool game to play. I'll take that.
Yes.
So, Tony, have you played anything else? I know, like, you've been moving, so...
I have, yeah. It's been hard to play stuff. But, I did play some of the... of one of the Total War Warhammer expansions.
Okay.
I got to play around with the Beastmen.
How do they play?
So it's interesting because they're horde-based. They don't actually have, like, cities. In fact, their role in the game, they are forces of evil, and they're trying to burn all the cities to the ground.
Okay.
So you basically...
That must change the way the game's played.
quite a bit. Because they don't actually have income. So the only way that they can survive is to, like, keep raising things.
Raising cities.
So you basically spend, like, it's fighting, 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 and you can't really stop. So They're pretty fearsome and evil.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
They're also all like animals, so they all move really fast. So like you basically they're not a, they have cavalry. Their cavalry is as fast as other cavalry, but their infantry forces are all faster than other side's infantry forces.
Okay.
And they're also fearsome, like they have like minotaurs and stuff. So I've actually had cases where I've had battles where the enemy has run away before I've made it to them. Because they're like, ah, that's they're coming. Yeah.
So Creative Assembly is supporting that quite well.
They're doing some good work. They also have the Wood Elves expansion, which I haven't played yet, but I'll get into it at some point, I imagine. And there's two more Total War Warhammer games coming. So this is the first of three. They also announced that they're working on a historical game in an era they haven't tried before. So,
Creative Assembly is doing that, or
Creative Assembly, yeah.
Okay,
because they have 7,000 teams now, so they could work on all these different games simultaneously.
What do you speculate that era is? Like my
I'm going to go with the 19th century. Worldwide.
Like
something that colonialism. Would encompass, like, you would get Victorian England, you would get the U.S. Civil War, you would get colonialism in China and Africa. So you could hit all that stuff, the Zulus, and, like, it could be really cool. And they've said it's an era they haven't used before, and there aren't a whole lot that they haven't hit. The only other big one I could think of would be like the Three Kingdoms era in like China. But I don't think that would be as popular. I think if they
have hit, they like, done any modern war games like World War I, World War II?
They have not, but I would say it's probably not an option because Sega owns them, and Sega also owns the studio Relic that does Company of Heroes.
Yeah,
and those games to them would make them a direct competitor.
The modern war,
Probably not going to hit. Probably not going to go. Plus, I don't think the modern warfare system would work as well in those eras. So they'd have to change so much.
Right, I feel like World War I might be the last war that they could do with something like that.
Right,
that was still sort of like
it still might even be a bit much
warfare and like slower and less violent than something. Well, not less violent, Jesus, but slower than.
World War II.
Or Vietnam or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But that's my guess is the 19th century. That's I hope that would be it. Because, I mean, they've done Rome, they've done, like, the Barbarian era, they've done the Middle Ages, they've done Total War Empires, which was, like, the 17th and 18th century, and they did Napoleon.
Right. Alexander the Great, I assume.
Yeah, they've done Alexander was an expansion to
That's what I was going to ask. If
that's why I feel like
they could do that one.
If they did anything else, you'd have to do like Genghis Khan or something like that, right? Like,
and they've done Genghis Khan and
way into the Mongols. Okay.
Yeah, they've done. I mean, they've done so much. They've done the Mongol invasion in Europe. So it's kind of like they've done so much at this point, it's hard to find areas they haven't hit. And when they did Medieval 2, they like added like four or five expansions where they hit all this other stuff. So it's the fact that they announced it's something they haven't done before kind of really narrows the field.
Right. I wonder what happens when they've just finished all the eras. Do they start remaking them from the first one back up again?
Oh, I think they'd have to. Like,
Medieval
could really use a remake. Honestly, it's that game is ancient now.
Yeah, and then they kind of did that with Shogun too, right? Like,
they
revisited that era and
right. I guess they could just make sequels, right? Into
when you get into the point where that last game about that era came out like 10, 12 years ago, you're like, all right, maybe we can hit that again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they did with Rome, right?
Like, yeah, that's what they did with Rome. I mean, Medieval came out in what? 2005. So, Medieval 2 came out in 2005. So, I guess you could do Medieval 3.
It'd be interesting to see them tackle something like Arthurian or something like that. If
there was actually in Total War, or Rome Total War, in the Barbarian expansion, they had like a King Arthur campaign.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
But it didn't really have anything. It didn't have like dragons or magic or anything.
Right, it was more reality based.
Yeah, I think it was Artorias, the guy that Arthur is supposedly based on, like more realistic. So it would be cool because I mean they've proven with Warhammer that stuff works and it's popular. So yeah, I think
they can expand beyond historical context.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'd love to see them do like Lord of the Rings too. That would be fun.
I need a new Lord of the Rings strategy game in my life. Ever since Battle of Middle Earth 2 went offline.
Yeah.
Pete, have you been playing anything?
I played Type Shift.
It's an iPhone game.
It's fun. I'm really bad at it. It's a lot of me just fumbling the letters around until they eventually become green. Because
so what exactly is Type Shift?
It's like a crossword puzzle game almost, but okay. I'm going to open it up and show you guys here. So I'm going to try and get this on camera. Oh, it's really bright. Ooh. Okay. But you see that there are all these rows here.
Yeah. There's like,
yeah.
So there's one of these rows is the center row. And the goal is to align the letters. There are all these vertical rows of letters into a word from the dictionary. And then, it'll turn green, and then the goal is to get all the letters to turn green by making words out of all the letters. And but it gets the really simple puzzles are nice because any letter that's green doesn't need to be used a second time, but the harder ones with more than five letters or four or five letters immediately have to include already previously used letters in order to get letters that haven't been used, and it can get difficult very quickly. There are clue puzzles, which are pretty cool, where it's almost like a crossword puzzle then, where like it gives you like, oh, you know, the shark movie made by Steven Spielberg, right? And you're like, oh, okay. Well, Jaws, right? And then you put it in, and then you tap the clue that you think the word is the answer to, and then it fills in, and then it takes any letter unique to that answer immediately disappears. So, like, if Jaws was the only answer that included the letter W, once you got that, the W would disappear, and it wouldn't. You're like, okay, well, I don't have to ever worry about matching W to any more of these words and stuff. It's simple. It's fun. It's something I will probably. I tend to play mobile games like 2 weeks at a time. Like, I haven't touched Fire Emblem Heroes in probably almost a month, maybe. So it'll be fun for the next 2 weeks until somebody says something else cool comes out. But it's free, so I would try it. It's not on Android as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
I don't know when it will be.
Mario runs that on Android now, I think. So
yeah, I think that just came out, right? I was just seeing.
Yeah, just yesterday, I think, or the day before.
Yeah.
Speaking
but that's of all I've been playing. I have not been able to play a whole lot this week. I really need to get back to A Night in the Woods. And at some point, Nier is on my list. At some point, Persona. Well, Persona's not out yet, but Persona's like the next thing on my list.
Yeah.
But I had a very expensive car repair, so funds are a little light at the moment.
I downloaded that Mass Effect app.
There's a mobile app too? Of course there's a mobile app.
Yeah, which
what does it do?
So remember in, I think it was Assassin's Creed 2 or in Brotherhood, where you could send like Brotherhood members out on missions?
Well, I hear they have like the strike team thing, right?
Yeah, so it's like that. It's like that. You can manage your strike teams from your mobile, and so you can actually be like sending them out on missions while you're not playing or like while you're at work. And it gives you in-game rewards like once they're finished. Like you can collect the rewards from the Torian guy, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
I haven't collected anything yet, so. But yeah, it's something. It's not really a game. It's more like management simulator. Like, send this guy to this mission. Send that guy to that mission.
It's boredom simulator.
Yeah. All right. It's like, I'm going to do this and not come back to it for another 3 hours. So, Jeff, you play anything?
I've been playing this little game. Maybe you guys have heard of it.
No.
Nope.
Called Zelda.
I've tried my best not to.
What is Zelda?
You finished Zelda, though.
Oh, I think I finished it last week.
Yeah. Sorry. But you're finished. Finished.
Oh, Zelda. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I... yes, except I'm playing it right now. But it's gone from... I'm basically done with it. And it's gone from playing it every day obsessively to... I'll like fuck around for a little bit. I've actually been spending, like most of the time lately, I've been spending actually watching my girlfriend play it.
Okay.
Surprising because. She's enjoying it? Yeah, she's enjoying it quite a bit, I think. I tried to make her play some Zelda games before, and I think she had played, I think she played Ocarina of Time back in the day. But, she gave up Wind Waker and Link Between Worlds within an hour or two. And she sat down the... I know. That's why I tried being like, hey, check these out. But, so, finally, talked her into trying this one out, and she played it for 5 hours straight before stopping. And
wow. She's
been playing it, every day ever since. So, I think that speaks to...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have much to add to that except, all right, so, my final stats, quote-unquote final, I got 62 shrines out of 120. 120,
right, yeah. So you did about half of them?
Yeah, that's after 100 hours, so...
Wow.
That's fucking nuts. Yeah. They're really hard to find now, too. In the beginning of the game, every 2 minutes, you're going to be running into a shrine. You're like, oh, this is fucking amazing. Now it's a real fucking hunt to try to find anything, you know. You feel like you've covered the same ground over and over and over.
So would it almost at that point would you feel that it wouldn't be cheating to get a guide to tell you where they are?
I was just thinking the same thing.
I think it'd still be cheating, but I'll go for it.
Well, would you feel that you are diminishing your experience at that point, because you're not finding
a little
you're
bit
kind of just running around.
I think a little bit, because that game is about the discovery and the exploration, and it's you put some time in.
You put a lot of time in. You put 100 hours in.
Yeah, but you'd be like, I've been over this little section of the map a billion times, and then sometimes you go in there again and you'll go around some sort of bend that you didn't see before,
and you find it.
Something. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I was just wondering because, the way you explain the shrines, they seem like the cool little puzzle areas. So it's if you wanted that, maybe a guide could just help you get there and do those, I guess.
But those really are just exploring and finding those. I would say is that's the main attraction here. there's another cool thing that you will collect throughout the game called Korok seeds. Have you guys heard of this at all?
Yep.
Korok seeds, they're these little hidden mysteries that'll be all over the place. And if you solve the little mystery or puzzle, you get a Korok seed. It allows you to expand your inventory slots. So they're very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of them in the game. And
oh, jeez.
I have found an embarrassingly small amount. I think I have 38. Just sad.
What the fuck?
Most people I know who are playing the game have over 100, and I don't know. I feel like I do search, seek them out a little bit, and when I notice something, it'll be you're wandering around and you come up upon a place that has there's three statues sitting there, and the statues are all holding a bowl, and all of them have apples in the bowl except for one statue doesn't. Well, you go to your inventory and drop an apple on that, and then you'll get the seed. It's just a little thing you have to notice in the environment.
It's a witness puzzle.
Wow.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's why Jeff's so bad at it.
That's why Jeff loves it.
I've heard some comparisons to witness about this game, and I think it would probably pertain to those environmental things where it's you notice something larger in the world that's just kind of there for no reason. All that, you get one of these seeds, which being able to carry a lot of weapons is very useful. You know what I mean? So the only problem is the guy that you sell this, like you turn in your seeds to him and he'll like expand your shit. He moves around the map and I have no idea where the fuck he is now. So I've upgraded like 2 or 3 times and he's moved along to somewhere else on the map. And in the last 60 hours or so, I've not seen this guy. So that really sucks too. Like you could easily look up and like, he's in one of like 4 fixed locations, but I don't want to look it up. So, yeah. But anyways, the game is phenomenal. I'm sure we'll be talking about it more as the year goes on. Like I'm sure Fozzie, once he comes back,
Fozzie's gonna play it.
He was texting me about the game. Like, can you do this and this with the horse? You know, like this is shit. I'm like, oh, Fozzie got the game. All right.
And
you should look up what happens if you click all the cross seeds. Just because you know you'll probably.
Oh, I know what happens. I think you get a pile of shit.
Yep. A pile of shit?
Like shit. Literally a pile. They're like, here's some shit for collecting. Like, literally, a pile of shit.
And it's golden. That's it. It doesn't do anything else.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm probably gonna play it after Prey in May. Yeah. So I think I'm gonna pick up one then.
I am actually like keeping an eye out right now for a Switch because if I find one, I will buy it and buy the game for it.
Play it again.
Just play it again. Yeah, because I really do want to start a new fresh game, but I don't want to do it on the Wii U because like I want to get the season pass and everything, and I want that to be on that new system. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be so committed on this system. So, plus, it'll be cool because we'll be able to be playing at the same time if we do that, and just be like sharing shit together and like exploring. It'll be pretty cool. But,
because Prey comes out May 5th.
You'll be able to find. Around that time, I would imagine you'd be able to find a Switch.
I don't see anything else really on my docket until like July or August again. So,
I don't really have a sense of what's happening. Basically, after I get Yooka-Laylee, I'm like, I'm good. Just let me know when Friday the 13th is dropping, and
what's really coming up
in the summer.
I'm slightly interested in Injustice 2, just because I like DC superheroes, but I'm not a fighting game fan, though, so...
Nope.
I'll probably wait on that. Yeah.
If there's one fighting game I like, though, it's that, like, that, you know, Mortal Kombat style.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of like... And Injustice was a really good game, so...
Yeah.
I want to ask you about a particular mission that I read about today in Zelda.
What?
Sounds like a robot now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're not like breaking up.
Oh, no.
You kind of sound, shit, man.
You sound a little robotic right now.
I don't know why.
It's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh no. Yeah. So, I kind of wanted to wait for him, but Jeff, April looks awesome from like a retro.
I am
perspective.
Like, this is like my, I don't know, my revenge or my payback or whatever. Like this is like suffering through last year. Is this year's been so amazing to me?
April looks great though. So the Yooka-Laylee, April 11th. The Disney Afternoon Collection is like April 18th, and Wonder Boy 3 is coming in a. In that month too. So,
well, that doesn't like really get me excited. But those first two, man,
Wonder Boy's a good game.
Yeah, I never played it, so it's whatever. But those first two, like, oh my god, it's awesome, dude! Like, Yooka-Laylee, I'm pretty like confident that it's going to be at the very least at the quality
should be good, right?
Of those old games, just with, you know, slightly more modern controls. So, yes. And then to get that Disney Afternoon Collection, that is going to be...
Yeah.
fucking awesome.
Can you guys hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
I think that this is due to Chrome's fucking memory leaks again, and because everything has been freezing and locking up here, I'm just going to have to use Internet Explorer when we podcast and fucking Chrome. God damn it.
Chrome. Yeah, Jeff, I think you would I think you'd actually like Wonder Boy.
I'm sure I would. I've never played it.
It's like a cool little action adventure, like side scrolling platformer type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, Jeff, what I was trying to say before was I was curious on your opinion of the Lost Pilgrimage mission in Zelda.
What is it?
The hold on, let me hear this. If I could ever get this tab to open, I'll tell you.
I read
an article on Kotaku about it.
It rings a bell, but I don't know.
Takes place outside of the Great Hyrule Forest. You have to escort the Korok seed through the trial. Yeah, but you can't get spotted while you're doing it.
You have to escort a Korok seed through a trial.
Yeah, named Tasho. He will tell you that his friend has set off to find the shrine alone. He really wants to make it all the way by himself, but Tasho is nervous about him. With Link, please follow along and make sure he gets to the shrine in one piece. It's basically an instant fail stealth mission.
No. I mean, I played a stealth mission in the main story.
Okay, this isn't it. Yet.
Sound like it? Yeah. No, I haven't done it.
It's just a shrine. Huh.
No, there are really cool shrines like that though in the game. Like, I'm sure you guys have probably heard of Eventide Island.
Yeah, that's particularly special.
Have you heard of that, Chris? What that is?
What's that?
Eventide Island in Zelda?
No.
So, there are shrines that are, way more involved than you just find a shrine, go in, and do the puzzle. Like, sometimes they're kind of built into the actual overworld itself.
Okay.
And so, there's one where there's, this island that you need a lot of stamina to reach.
Oh, I think I did hear about that one. It's, you can't just, fly there, right? Or
you can. No, that's how I get there. But it's okay. Because I have, three wheels of stamina off a cliff and fly all the way out to this island. And so when you land on the island, they strip you of all your fucking gear and shit. And they're like, yeah, try to survive on this island and fucking kill everybody. Or not even kill anybody. You have to place three things in the three. Like, you have to find three things on the island and put them on their pedestals or whatever. But it's you're stripped of everything. Like, you're naked and you have a fucking stick. And there's bad guys all over. It's a survival on this island type thing. Kill all these motherfuckers while you're trying to get out of here.
Huh.
And that's considered a shrine in the game. I don't know. There's really cool, weird fucking shit like that in the game as well. So good, dude. I can't wait for everyone to have played it. Or Tony probably won't be able to, but Pete, you better do something. I don't know if you have a Wii U still or what, but you gotta do something.
I still do. It's taking up space in my playroom.
There you go.
I don't remember the last time eating of my
make use of that space. Put a nice little, Zelda game on it. Play it.
Nothing else.
All right. And I finished Horizon. So that game's cool. Real cool.
I thought you'd beat it last week, hadn't you, or no?
No, I was, where was I last week? I was close. I was 30 hours in. I ended up putting about another 13 into it. It took me 43 hours. I ended at level 46. I got most of the collectibles. I was when I finished it, I was kind of yep, I'm good. I don't need to go back into it, but it pays off very well. So, I could have done without the after credits cutscene.
Can nobody hear me?
Can hear you.
Okay.
Nope, we can't.
Chrome is having a fucking seizure, so.
Oh. Well,
you do still sound like a robot, though.
Yeah, you're beginning to sound robotic again.
All right, again. Yes? No? Are we back?
You're back.
Can see a picture. Oh.
Oh, you froze.
Goodbye, Pete. Okay. You're fucking hurt.
Can you hear me at least?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's better than nothing. I'm back now to me, oddly enough. I was frozen to myself before.
Oh, that's good. Not good for you, but yeah, I could have done without that. There's like an after credit scene that sets it up for a possible sequel. I could have done without that. But
so my that's my bit, and I want to write an article about this after the review. That scene in my stories about what that scene means because of their. I thought, and Chris, you'll understand what this means now that you've seen the whole thing, that the libraries, right?
Okay. Which
held all knowledge and whatever, right?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like that would have been a really cool MacGuffin for a second game, like to discover the ancient knowledge and of people in.
Yeah,
power struggles and things like that. But like, if we're just going to repeat the same type of villain,
you kind of stick with Hades as being the bad guy.
Right. Now, I mean, he got like Lance Riddick, who, by the way, is literally just Lance Riddick.
Pretty much, yes.
It's so weird. He does talk about the people that did like. Wake him up, right? And like, oh, who like caused you to do all this in the first place? And it's like, okay, well, maybe there's an answer there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm interested in that line of story exploration, but
right, my like they almost did themselves a disservice by making it so self-contained that like. We know why the machines exist. There's an explanation for literally every type of machine. So, yeah. Like, you almost couldn't even have a sequel that had
different machines. Because well, because they were all...
That served a very specific purpose.
Yeah, they were all created to kind of, like, help terraform the land and help out humanity in such a way.
Right, so, like, if you made a sequel, it's like, okay, well... couldn't introduce new machines because unless the next game but like the next game would obviously still start Aloy and like continue what do you call it like her story but like every I don't know like
see I don't that's the thing I don't need another story with Aloy I wouldn't mind returning to that world but I don't need her as the main character. I feel that her story ended. Like, it has a great beginning, it has a solid middle, and it has a good resolution.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily feel that she, like, that there's a purpose for her outside of, like, she's the best damn monster hunter, best machine hunter. Like I'm not sure.
Right, like, she discovered her reason for existence.
Right. And like that's literally how the game ends. Like,
yeah, and so if it's literally just more like, oh shit, the guy that I thought I killed isn't actually dead. Like, yeah. I don't know how you meet another like 45-hour open world and still set it in the same area. Like, unless it's more of a story about her hunting him down. Like,
well, when there is talk that. You know, I think that the matriarchs do talk about there being, like, further areas out of where you're at. I guess, like, where you're at is kind of like the Colorado area, Utah area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could kind of go east, far east of the United States, like New York and that area.
Sure.
Or you could go further west.
I guess, like, what's there?
Right.
Then there, like, I mean, like... I, like, half the reason they chose Colorado, I imagine, is because those different biomes do exist.
Yeah.
More or less naturally within Colorado. Like, there's desert there, there's mountains and, you know, nice lush forests and whatever.
Like, I can only imagine that you would, and I guess, like, the East Coast does this a little bit better than the West Coast, because you could spread out and be, like, halfway into, you know, Pennsylvania, Virginia, where it is mountainous, and then you could have more dense city areas as well.
Right. I would almost, like, I could almost see if they wanted to do, like, instead of one large world, do smaller hub worlds of, like, hey, this is, you know, place in, you know, the Midwest, and then we move further east.
You could do something kind of like what, you know, The Last of Us did, where it's like road trip, right? And like the road trip portions are done by cutscene, but then like you get to it and it's like another whole new hub area.
Right. You get to Boston and then it's like, all right, here are like 25 side quests and a bunch of like hunts and other shit you can do. And then if you want, you can fast travel back to another state, or you can go back to New York, or you can go to Florida or Texas, whatever the hell, you know, like, and that might give them more variety, because I think it places everything in one area.
Yeah.
The end of humanity, more or less, took place in that area, right? And so, like, they explain why Abloy happens to be in the exact spot where everything happened.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, they built the, you know, the contingency there, so.
Right, so it's like, okay, well, what is the importance of going anywhere else as well? Like, I know that they are planning some sort of expansion to the story, and I don't know if that's just, like, a side thing and less of a bridge. They probably, I mean, the game just came out, so I can't imagine that they're planning any sort of sequel storyline yet.
And I can't imagine that Sony, like, I mean, Sony probably has now been like, yes, go, like, come up with an idea for a sequel. Right. Like, before this, it was like, hey, hold on. Like, let's see where this goes.
Sure. I mean, it sold very well.
So I'm sure that they've now at this point been like, do what you want. You're our golden kids.
Last of Us managed to come up with a concept. You know, we'll see how that executes on it. But, you know, that story at the same time was also like, okay, well, we figured out everything that there was to figure out, and there wasn't any real need.
I wonder,
to see where the story continued.
And I could see, like, there are places for this to go in an expansion prequel-wise. They could explore Ross's story.
That's never answered, right?
I missed that, right?
Why he was exiled?
No, you can, if after, after you go back to, like, where the matriarchs are, and you become the anointed...
Right. Oh, you can ask them?
You can talk to them, and if you talk to Teresa, she'll go, like, it's a long story, and you can go, well, tell me, and, like, she'll go into it and actually explain exactly what happens. And why he was in exile, and...
they explain that, like, that's a question she asks in the main story,
mm-hmm.
of, like, hey, what the fuck with Ross, and Mother Teresa, or whatever, goes...
There was a tragedy that happened in the tribe, dealing with like Karja bandits, I guess, or maybe not specifically Karja, but from like that outside the Embrace, and Rost, His wife and child were killed, and you know how they are very like tradition based. So it was like, oh, we're going to taunt you by keeping the bodies just out of your reach, so you can't get them. He was very tradition based. So he went and he begged to become what is called a death seeker. So it was like Aloy is a seeker. And she is given free reign to move around. A death seeker is given reign to leave and hunt for death. And so basically he went and he killed all the people that killed, you know, the families and stuff, and and he was brought back.
You know, like, if in a sequel, one thing I would be very excited to see are the other types of civilizations that have come up in...
Outside of, like, the Karja and the Nora. Because we're given a glimpse of, like, the... I can't think of their names, but they're kind of like the... It's the guy where the Vanguard is from. I can't think of who they are, but... They have, like, we're never actually brought to where they live, so.
There's the Shadow Karja, there's the Karja, there's the Nora, there's the Van. There's the,
Arend and his sister were from a tribe of people that were, like, you're not.
Oh, I think.
Yeah, and like, we never go to where they actually live.
Right.
And there's also the Banuk, who are. Yes. Yeah.
And just to see, like, what other sort of cool civilizations have come up, I think would be neat. You know, I do think there might be some ways that they could create new machines, depending on, hey, if he has Hades, and Hades has a way to remake the factories.
Right.
To craft new... with different machines, like, there are built-in lore ways that that's possible, but there's going to be, there's going to be so much groundwork laid in that, like, they got to put that work in or else got to feel
natural. We'll see. I mean, that's probably years off, so maybe by the time it comes around, I'll be,
yeah, hopefully. I mean, I imagine, when did they announce Horizon? Was it last year?
Yeah, I think it was 2015 E3, wasn't it?
I think so. Let's assume it was in a development at least a year before that.
E3 2015.
3 years? Interesting. Yeah, so I mean 2020 maybe if let me see. That's cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it, though. Yeah, I mean, that story ends real cool. Did you get the shield armor?
I did. I mean, I used the guide to get it, but...
Right, well, you have to. It's impossible otherwise.
It's not as cool... I mean, like, it's cool, but it is not as cool as it looks in the...
for sure.
...the case. So it looks like Halo armor in the case, and then you get it, and it's basically just, like, a glowy skirt.
But it basically just breaks the game.
Super awesome. Like, yeah. It's amazing. You could take, like, multiple hits and the shield recharges on it. And, yeah, that final battle was, like, a joke.
It really was. I stood in the same spot. I had that weapon and I just catapulted bombs into those dudes and I never moved. Because by the time that they stopped firing, my shield recharged.
Yeah. It's kind of a joke how ridiculous that stuff goes. Let's see, real quick. Destiny 2 coming in September.
Yes, leaked images.
September 8th, I guess.
And then there was something in there about, like, join the beta or something. Like, I imagine those are going to be E3 posters or images. Like, hey, join now for the exclusive PlayStation 4 beta.
Sounds like they... Again, it looks like there might be some, like, early access for PS4 for the beta, so we'll see. That's more Destiny, I guess.
More Destiny.
Yeah.
My favorite. Wait, no.
Okay, hopefully, you know, like, if not, it's gonna be Bungie's least favorite thing too, because Activision will own them.
Yeah. It's a shame. So. They went from what they thought was the devil to the actual devil. So,
congratulations on being the devil.
Games with Gold has Rise, Son of Rome, coming April 1st.
What's on PlayStation?
I don't know if they've announced the PS Plus games yet. Okay. These leaked. So,
oh, okay.
they're not official, but it's what? It's Rise and The Walking Dead Season 2. The
Walking Dead Season 2 for Xbox One, Darksiders, and AC Rev for Xbox 360.
Which is not a bad list, except I've played three of those four games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I own all four of those games. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you haven't, like, Rise is fine. It's perfectly fine, quick, six-hour action game.
6 hours, yeah.
Walking Dead Season 2 is more Walking Dead if you like The Walking Dead.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Season 1, I really did.
And Darksiders and AC Rev are very good games. So AC Rev is the weakest of the Ezio games, but it is still pretty strong in terms of Assassin's Creed.
I was talking about a card game because I didn't really see.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Assassin's Creed Revelations.
As soon as you said that, I knew what you were talking about. But for this whole time, I was like, I don't remember a card game like you named that. All right, that's the AC Rev, whatever. Card games have been named Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's AC Rev, Broho.
Broho, that's right.
Yeah, Darksiders is a pretty good game. So.
I did not like that game. I never played the second one, but I didn't like the first one.
I liked it. At the time, at the least.
It's like a Zelda-ish game.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why I didn't like it.
Might be why. Like, if you don't like Zelda, like, that would be why. Kind of talked a little bit about Wonder Boy 3 coming. I threw that in because I know Jeff likes platformers and...
Mm-hmm.
But evidently he's never played Wonder Boy. So
what's that snake game?
I'm aware of it.
There's a snake game?
In almost the exact same art style. Oh, yeah.
It looks like ukulele, but it's
that's what I'm talking about. Game. Yeah, Hobby was talking about it on Twitter, and I cannot remember the name of it.
It's got that classic, like, rare art style. But and it's, like, supposedly a platformer, but it looks like you play as a snake. Like, it looks neat, actually. Like,
you have, like, a bird as well that, like, will, like, carry you up shit, so it's almost exactly.
Bring it on. I'm down for it. Evidently, JonTron was cut from Ukulele, too.
That was going to be one of my newest things. It's called Snake Pass.
Snake Pass. Did you have anything else?
Snake Pass?
Snake Pass.
When does that come out?
The March 29th.
Oh.
Cool.
Did you have anything else you want to quickly touch on, Pete, that you had in your new?
The only other two things is Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, because the Wii U version was canceled.
Okay.
And that's the, like,
Castlevania spiritual successor, kind of.
Yeah, but
Kickstarter Blood's game.
Yeah.
And so that's cool.
When,
the same thing happened with Ukulele, right? So
yeah, Ukulele is not coming to Wii U anymore. It's coming to Switch.
But does Ukulele launch at the same time as the other versions of it?
For Switch? It's not launching on Switch at the same time.
Yeah, so fuck.
I only know this because I'm a backer of Ukulele, and they have said that that's not gonna, it's not, it shouldn't be launching too far behind, but they had to make adjustments and stuff.
It's too bad. I'll be getting it on Xbox then.
Yeah, last thing was Australia banned Outlast 2, and then 3 days later unbanned it for classification, and on the 18+, and then because there are scenes of sexual violence that exceeded what was permissible even under that rating, and then a few days later, they came back and was like, we reversed our decision. They didn't change anything in the game. The game is entirely intact as it originally was.
Huh.
They just changed their mind.
I
don't know why or what may have motivated them to do that. But
I do wonder if Red Barrels was able to go in and go, like, look, you rated these as M... And these games, like, they were able to show examples where things happened, where they have given M ratings in the past. I don't know what they would have shown, but...
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I had in terms of news. It's a pretty light week, all things considered.
Also, it's Australia.
In terms of music.
Right. Yeah, it's a little weak. But Tony and I are going to play more Mass Effect, so...
Yeah, we are.
That's to talk about. We'll be deep into it, so...
And next week, I hope to be done with Night in the Woods by next week. And then, yeah, Persona is the week after next, so...
Is that when you complete your robot surgery?
Persona 5 is first week of April?
I think so. I think it's April 5th.
Okay.
April 4th. Sorry, that's that Tuesday.
I don't know. Google's just telling me it was released already, so...
Yes, in like December or September of last year.
Yes, right? September 15th. Like, that's not true. Well, I guess it is, no, but it's not true. Yeah, I'll be interested to hear about Persona too. I played the original Persona, like a little bit of it on the original PlayStation, but I have never played one since then. So,
I played some of Persona 2 on the Vita. That's
about it. I heard 3 and 4 were really good, but.
Yeah, not Vita, PSP. But yeah.
But yeah, cool.
I hope to hit Nier up at some point as well, because I have heard nothing but amazing things about
it. Yeah, I added Nier to my wish list. I want to play that at some point.
Yeah, that game's got like a low key buzz like behind it. Like,
yeah.
But it's just like under the radar. Sure.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like the demo that I played. It has really cool character design. Apparently, it's really good sci-fi as well, like just in terms of its themes and stuff like that. So,
and it's platinum. Like, it's that. Like a platinum game, right?
Like gameplay wise, yeah.
Platinum. Yeah, Platinum co-developed it with Square Enix. So,
yeah.
All
right. We'll be back next week then. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.